but mostly God was working on me. This will go back into another epistle or letter from Paul to the church of Galatians. We've been in Corinthians the last couple of probably maybe a month. So we're going to get into Galatians at least this week. Jordan Green comes next week. That's a young lady from down in Dalton, Georgia. Her father pastored a church for about 20 years. When our kids went to DNOW, they just locked in and loved her. She just connected with all of our young, especially our girls. And she's going to come and share her testimony. She's got a good testimony. Wait, see Wednesday. And we're going to try to spend a little time after that with some of our youth girls that met with her down at the DNOW back in the summer, or back in the early spring, sorry. Did I give y'all enough time to get to Galatians chapter 2? I felt like the worship was way up here, and the message is kind of like right down here. So I'm hoping that we'll get a connect somewhere in there. This is real big for me. Because this is, hopefully, this will challenge us tonight. It really challenged me as I studied it, and we'll just jump into the Word. I'm going to try to jump over there, 1 Corinthians 15, in a minute. Let's look at Galatians chapter 2, then 14 years. Did y'all say that, then 14 years? All right. Then 14 years, I went up, right? Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. This is Paul. 14 years. You might want to write that down. I don't know how long you've been saved. I don't know how long you've been going for Christ. I don't know how long you might have been saved early on and had some years where you didn't really serve God in a capacity, but then got into a place where you're serving God more in capacity now. Not sure. But I look at my own self. In 2024, I've been saved 20 years. And a year after that, I started preaching at the end of that last 2005. Right? That's when I started preaching. And so I've been going on this thing for a little while now and have got some experience. So when Paul says I went back up, it was an interval thing. He didn't just, this was 14 years prior to him going back. He had been back and forth, but this time he was led up by the Spirit to go back to Jerusalem. He had been planting churches, and he writes this into the Galatian letter, okay? So Paul is always contending for the gospel. Right, you might want to write that down. It's a good note. He's always contending with the gospel. One thing I picked up on tonight's worship as I was sitting there trying to listen and let this absorb the worship part, because I'm trying to do that more, is I'm trying to hear the worship, hear the music, because if you're not, I'm kind of like an A-type personality. I want the message to be perfect when it's not always perfect. So I'll kind of get lost in the worship sometimes thinking about the message. But I kept hearing this king and kingdom and entering into the throne room. How many of y'all, are you excited about that? You're going to enter into the, I mean, that's bigger than what we are. Sometimes you can read in Isaiah where he says, I seen after the year the king Uzziah died, I seen God high and lifted up. His train filled the room. Okay. When you get into that motion where the train filled the room, that means his kingdom is without end. And the angel said, holy, holy, holy. And the doorpost shook in heaven, right? All right, so we're going to be in that presence. We're going to come into that place. But the only reason, the single only reason we can come into that room is because of the gospel. Amen? That's it. The good news of Jesus Christ. There's nothing. There's no other reason we can enter in. There's nothing about us that God sees as special other than the fact that he dealt with our heart and we put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ by grace alone, by faith alone. Okay? Grace alone, by faith alone. There's nothing we can do in ourselves. And it's important. Paul fights for this. I mean, he puts both hands up and fights for this all the way through the epistles, every letter. When Paul ran into Jesus on the road to Damascus to the day that he passed away, he fought for the gospel. Because there was something in him. I was telling Peyton this about this before I come to church tonight. There was something in him that he didn't default back to sin. He never did. He didn't default back to like going to the club or running with women or cussing or drinking or using drugs. His default was to fall back into the law and legalism. Amen? That's what his biggest battle was. He thought self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is just, it's as big a sin as any other sin that you can get. Okay? It's the biggest sin. If you think about drugs, alcohol, lying, cheating, fornication, adultery, when you set about to be self-righteous, that means you're righteous in yourself and you don't need God. That's just as bad, if not worse, okay? So Paul's default was that. He'd always fight because in his nature, he would want to say, I'm good enough. Amen? I'm good enough. But he wasn't. And he would remind himself without Jesus Christ and what he did. I mean, I was worried when I come into this if it was going to be any good or not like that. But I feel the Holy Spirit, so if I get caught away for a moment or two, I'll relax, try to come back into that. But I just want you to know, Paul went up to Jerusalem, and he brings a young man by the name of Titus, who's a mixed race. He's a Greek, and he's never been circumcised. He's not under the law. He's saved as he can be, though. And Paul calls him like his son in the faith. Paul had two guys like that. Timothy and Titus were both sons in the faith. And if you stick around long enough in Christ Jesus serving God, you're going to have some people that come along that are like family members in the faith. Amen? I've got mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and different kinds of people in the faith, and they're just as vital and important to me as blood relatives. Amen? So, but Paul never had children. He was never married. So therefore, he had this son in the faith. And you know, he was tempted. He was probably always tempted in his flesh. You know, it'd be all right if we'd probably get circumcised. It'd be, you know, we wouldn't have to answer so many questions and things like that. But after he gets converted and after Titus gets converted, that's not even a question with him, all right? And Barnabas, I want you to understand he was an encourager, strong encourager. I always like to have some encouragers around me. I like to be encouraging, right? I like to encourage people, but I love encouragers. Amen. People who get around you and they'll say good things, kind things to you to keep you going. Amen. And that's who Barnabas is. I think Paul always needed a Barnabas because Paul probably would get down to the dark side of things and feel like, you know, he's going under or a bit less than. You don't go through what Paul went through without having a bad day. Amen. And so he'd always have somebody say, you know, Paul, you're doing a great job. You're a great writer. Man, I love being with you. Amen. Are y'all good? God, this is a little bit, I'm kind of nerdy tonight in this. I love this. This is a very cool place for me to preach from. I've never preached from here really as a whole sermon. I've referenced this, but I'm really enjoying this if you didn't know. And I went up by revelation. Underline that. This is God sent. God is an agitator sometimes. God will send you or send somebody into your life sometimes to be an agitator. Amen. Not to get you, not to hurt you, but to cleanse you. Amen. Y'all get that right there when I say agitator? It's like the same thing in your washing machine. Amen. Without the agitator or something to agitate in the washing machine, the clothes don't get clean. All right. So sometimes God will send somebody to agitate. God, you got to remember this. Paul's been in this 14 years and he's still got no chill when it comes to the gospel. I don't want to chill out. I want to be as fired up as I was the day I got saved when the day I depart this earth. Amen. Watch this. But I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that the gospel, which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Man, can y'all get this? He goes up to Jerusalem. You're talking about Peter, James, John. We're talking about the inner circle of Christ. He goes up to them. You got some people who've seen, who walked with Jesus. They spent 3 years. They walked with Jesus. Amen. Luke's there, but he goes up to them and he says, can I talk to you privately? I need to really talk to you. They love Paul. Paul is we're going to get that in a second. He is on fire and he's going out and he's seeing Gentiles being saved and they're in Jerusalem and they're leading people to Christ and they're trying to do what they're doing. But Paul says, let me pull you into the side. And he's talking to him and he says, this is the gospel. Let me give you that. Go to 1 Corinthians 15 real quick. Sorry that I'm jumping around, but I'm kind of excited. I'm trying to hold it together. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Do y'all see that? I'll just read this real fast and we'll go back to where we're at. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. Underline that word stand if you get a chance. We stand in our faith in Jesus Christ. So we stand firmly. By which also you are saved. S-A-V-E-D. Amen. He always refers to salvation as past tense. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, the death, amen, on the cross. That's number one as part of the gospel goes. And that he was buried and arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The death, the burial, the resurrection. And he was seen to Caiaphas and then the 12. That's the gospel, amen. That's the gospel according to Paul, amen. Listen, I know it's simple. I know it's broke down right there. Death, burial, resurrection, amen. Paul, that's all you need. That's how Paul understands he's saved. Because Jesus died for our sins. He was buried for our sins. And he was resurrected that we might be resurrected. That's it. That's the gospel. Amen? You put your trust and faith in it, in that Jesus was enough, that everything Jesus did at Calvary, in the grave, and in the resurrection is enough to get you into heaven, you'll get in heaven. Period. If you put your belief in, guess what? In Isaiah 35, he says, there is a highway. Y'all go read that. It's so exciting. I think it's verse 10. It's Isaiah 35, 10. He said, there is a highway. There is a way. And you can't get on that road. You can't get on that highway unless you've been cleansed. Amen? There's no other way to get on the highway to heaven except you be cleansed. But once you're cleansed, you're on the highway. Golly, bum. That's good. Amen? What Paul is saying is, I try to do all the law. I try to keep all the righteous. I try to do it myself. I tried to get into heaven my way, and I couldn't, and I met Jesus. And guess what? He died for my sins. I believe that. He was buried. I believe that. And on that third day, he's resurrected. Because he was resurrected, one day I'm going to be resurrected. Man, the devil hates. If you ever truly put your faith and trust in the fact that Jesus Christ is resurrected and you'll be resurrected, that you will be something hard to deal with as a Christian. You know why? Because you ain't never going to die. And if you'll ever square that in your mind, and if you ever square that in your heart, amen? Now listen, God has not given us a spirit to walk around wishing for death wish, but at the same time, we shouldn't be walking around in fear. If you ever get in your mind that the end of my life is not the end of my life, that's the beginning of my life. So if the devil, I know some of you in this room, and I've been there too, and I'll probably be there again. The devil crawls up on your shoulder. You're going to die. So-and-so died this way. You're going to die that way. Da-da-da. This runs in your family. He's lying to you. If you're a born-again Christian, guess what? One day when you take your last breath on this side, your spirit will be standing right in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll never be more alive than you are in that moment. And the thing that you've been dreading so much and the devil's been wearing you out about, you'll be saying, man, I wish I'd done this. Whenever. All right? So you know what? We put our trust in the fact that Paul said, "There, it's simple, but it's complicated. It's easy, but it's not easy. And it seems like a simple exchange, but it's a great exchange. It seems costless, but it costs God everything." Amen? What a great deal. You trade in all your unrighteousness for His righteousness, but it costs God everything. He became a dying sacrifice that you might be a living one. Listen, I want you to get this, and I want you to hold on to this firmly. If Jesus died on a cross for you, that's what it took to get to save you. Don't ever underestimate. Don't ever belittle. Don't ever kind of lower what Jesus did. If Jesus died for you, that's what it took. Amen? There ain't nothing you can do that can equal that, make it better, or make it worse. You can't add to or take away anything from that to make it any better. That's the best. Whew. People say, well, you know, you got to do this after you get saved. You got to do that after you get saved. Now listen, I put all my trust and faith in what He did. It's enough. You would dishonor God. You stand before God. All you're going to do is say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What He did on that cross is enough. What He did going to that tomb, enough. That resurrection was enough. That's all. Paul has all kinds. The Jews had tradition after tradition after tradition. They had law after law after law. You had the law, and then the traditions of the Jews would say they added to the law. Paul could tell you everything you could do as a Pharisee to make it into heaven. He boiled it down to three things. And it was hard for him because he wanted to be more, but it ain't more. It's exactly what it is. Golly, am I doing all right? Y'all got that? I know it's Wednesday night. We're the few people in here. But you know, we can get excited in who we are and what we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Because, man, I'm going to tell you right now, I fight you tooth and nail on the gospel. I'll fight you tooth and nail. We got to work. We got to do this. You got to be baptized in a certain way. You got to wear these certain clothes. You got to do this. No, no, and no. Amen. I'm telling you, I will go to battle over this right here. Don't tell me there's some other way other than Jesus Christ, because that's the only way I'm getting in. It's the only way I'm getting in. I don't stand a chance any other way. I do the things that I do because God is in me and He leads me to those things, but it's because I'm coming from a place of salvation, not because I'm working to a place of salvation. I'm saved. Amen. We are saved, Paul said. Oh, whew, I know. I'm getting excited. What's this right here? He pulls him out. He said he wanted to make sure that he didn't run in vain. He wanted to make sure, listen, he wanted to make sure the message is right. Hey, guys, this is what I've been preaching to every Gentile, and we've been seeing a lot of people get saved. We're planting churches left and right. Is this all right with you? Is this what you've been doing? Because I want to know, because if I am, I'm running in vain. I don't want to. Ain't that cool, though? He didn't blow them up in front of everybody. He said, can we get together and make sure I'm on message and you're on message? Because if you're doing something different, I want to know. And vice versa. I don't think it was a one thing where he came in there and said, "Oh, guys, I'm so dependent on y'all." But he wanted to know, "Hey, I'm seeing some big changes in the Gentile countries and in the Gentile land. I'm seeing amazing stuff. But it's because I've been preaching the gospel. I've been hearing this since I've been in faith. I've been hearing this since I've been in the church. Since I've been preaching. Since I've been a pastor. We need a great move of God. You want a great move of God? Preach the gospel. You want a great move of God? Live the gospel. Amen." There's no magic recipe. Get excited about the gospel. Because if you're excited about it, and that's what gets you in, other people need that. It's the good news, amen? It's the cure. If they come out with a cure of cancer, and it's take this right here, drink that, and that's it, guess what? Nobody else wants to know about anything else. They just want to know, drink that, right? We went through a pandemic. All they want, what shot, right? I know I'm getting lost right there, but I want to get you this right here. This ain't that. This is the cure for your sin ailment. It is Jesus. Just that. You can't get... Oh, that's so good. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. That because of false brethren unaware brought in, who came in privately despite our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. He was saying, man, there were some people in there who were fake. They were trying to pretend like they were believers in Jesus Christ. And the whole time what they were trying to do is they were trying to get us back under the bondage of living under the law. Do you know that's still going on? The Galatians had a big problem with it. There's a lot of Jewish people that would come along and say, well, you need to be circumcised. You need to get back to eating kosher. You need to do some things that are, you know, in the law. The law is important. And they, because that's all they ever knew. But guess what? Paul's sitting there going, hey, no. He goes, what are we living in? We're living in liberty, freedom. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't know this, when you find Jesus and you know who he is and you're comfortable who he is and confident in who he is, man, you are free. I am not free to sin because I condemn my own sin. And guess what? But I am not under the law either, man. I don't have to anything. Amen. Whew, God, if you ever get that, man, that took me about 15 years to be able to say that and mean it. I don't have to. I don't have to wear a suit and tie. I don't have to. I don't have to. I don't have to do. Man, there's no. I went to the greatest revival I've ever been a part of in Arkansas, Tennessee. Guess what I was wearing? I didn't dress up no more than this the whole week. I didn't take one dress shirt, one tie. I didn't take one thing that went down there. I didn't go into one tent meeting looking like a preacher. I went in there looking just like this every night. And guess what? 60-plus people saved and baptized. It blew my mind. I didn't even think you could have tent revival without a suit. God laughs at us. You know what you need? Jesus. Jesus. Dying on a cross. Buried in a grave. Raised from the dead, and he'll raise you from the dead. Your dead spirituality. That was it. Maybe somebody, they just look at him and say, you know, y'all sit so happy and so excited, and you love, all you want to talk about is Jesus. You know what? I don't think that little Greek guy with you is circumcised. I don't think he is. He's not. He loves Jesus, though. His mama loves Jesus. His grandmother loves Jesus. And he's a fireball. You ought to see him out there with the Gentile. Man, he's just sharing gospels in people saved. Man, you know, that's something amazing. We got Barnabas with you. He's a Jewish guy. What does he think about it? He just loves Jesus too. Amen. They're trying to pull him out. Watch Paul, watch this. I love this. Because sometimes legalistic people or real religious people can get you to thinking that they're more important than what they are. Amen? Because they'll look a certain way and you'll think, man, they look so good. That must be the way. They got the right dress, they got the right suit, they got the right da-da-da-da, right? They just look like packaged, right? Watch this right here. Verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour. Now listen, that's King James language. You know what he said? He said, we didn't put anything under their authority for not even an hour. You know what he looked at? He looked at him and goes, you look, God bless, this is good. You look great on the outside, but you are whited sepulchers. You are death. You look great on the outside, but you ain't got nothing on the inside. We ain't even going to listen to you for an hour. I wouldn't even give you 5 minutes of what you got. I've had that already. Man, we need to get right there, man. We could stay right there for a while. Sometimes we try to start falling in love with the thing that we've got out of. I wouldn't give you 5 minutes for my old life. I wouldn't give you 5 minutes. Paul said, you know, Paul could have a debate. He could go. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He sat under Gamaliel. He sat under the highest ranked teacher there was in the Pharisaical religion. I mean, he was up there. He was coming up to Sanhedrin. He was an up and comer. He could probably baffle these guys. And he looked at him and said, no, thank you. Why? Do you know how great a freedom that is to look at somebody and go, I don't have to waste my time. I'm not here to defend Jesus. He does a good job by himself. I don't have to prop him up. But of those who seemed, underline that verse 6, that's a good word. But of those who seemed, right? Some of them seem good. To be somewhat, whatsoever they were it, where it maketh no matter to me, God accept no man's persons. For they who seem to be something in conference added nothing to me. God's good. Let me break it down in regular terms. He looked at him and goes, they seem to be something, but they had nothing to do with how I got saved. Amen? And they add nothing to who I am in Christ Jesus. You got to look at some people and say, I didn't get here because of you. You might want to take a note because you know what? Sometimes we can put people on a spiritual pedestal that they do not belong in. We will start to begin to say, well, I would, God, I'm preaching right here. I would kind of lean with this scripture right here, but that's not how I was raised, and that's not how brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so taught it. So if I say this by what the scripture is, then it's going to offend them, and I don't want to offend them. If I offend them, they'll be mad at me, but then God will be upset. Are you all right? You know what he's saying? You know who met me on that Damascus road? Jesus. God. That's all I got. That's all I need. You didn't get me started, and you definitely won't get me finished. Some of y'all need to hear that. Some people didn't get you started, and they ain't going to get you finished. I used to think that, well, man, I'm going to need so-and-so, and I'm going to need this person. I'm going to need that person to get where I'm. God laughs. He goes, you were in a miry pit when I found you. I got you out. I established your goings. I am the reason. Phew. Paul, this is so cool. I don't know if y'all like this kind of stuff, but sometimes on a Wednesday night, I like looking at the Word and realizing, praise God, you ain't got to sit there and sword fight with every person that comes along. You ain't got to sit there and hee-haw around with somebody who didn't do anything for you in the first place. If they want to be in the faith, let them be in the faith. If not, let them walk. Have a nice one. Oh, man, Paul, I love that stuff. Watch this right here. But on the contrary wise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter. He said, man, our ministries were equal in power and in strength and in reach. Verse 8, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And when James... Caiaphas, that's Peter. I love how he uses his name right there. And John, who seemed to be pillars. Did you see what he did right there? Seemed. They're not Jesus either. They're not God either. Amen? Do you remember when I told you they brought him up there as an agitator? God brought him up there as an agitator? He's still fired up, excited about meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus. So is Peter and him, but they've gotten sidetracked a little bit. So guess what? They brought somebody up there who's not. Man, this is 14 years, Charlie. 14 years. You know what? Sometimes in 14 years you think, I ain't got to make a big deal about this. I'm just up here at Jerusalem. They're doing their own thing. I've got my whole ministry down here with the Gentiles. I've got my plate filled up, loaded with stuff. Why am I going to worry about what they're doing? I'll show you. Watch this. Watch. For he wrought Paul said, okay. And when Caiaphas and John seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. What did Peter just do? Peter was eating with the Gentiles. But James came in because he had some Jewish people that were with him, and they were still trying to be Orthodox Jews. And James come in, half-brother Jesus, walks in. So they're all there together, and Peter withdraws himself. The Orthodox Jews would not eat with the Gentiles. They would go into a separate room in a separate place. So Peter, instead of staying with the Gentiles, do y'all remember anything about Peter? Do y'all remember his big revelation in the book of Acts? Do y'all remember the sheet coming down? Do y'all remember that? That was like his moment. Cornelius, remember? The sheet came down, and what'd he say? That's unclean, Lord. He said it happened three times. God, I hope y'all get this. This is nerdy type stuff, but I love it. The sheet came down three times, and Peter had a wrestling match with God, because there was shrimp, there was pork, there was stuff that Jews just don't eat, and God said, "Rise and eat." Some of y'all need y'all learn amens right there. That's good stuff. Some of y'all like a pork sandwich every once in a while. I'll be all right. I like shrimp, okay? Bacon. All right, bacon. Can we all agree on bacon? Some of y'all are so bacon. All right, so guess what? He says, "Rise, slay, and eat." Peter's like, "Not so, Lord." Sheet comes down again. "Rise, slay, eat." "Not so, Lord." Third time. Then he sent in Cornelius. All the Gentiles got saved. Cornelius got saved. Family got saved. Praise God, the Spirit of God's on him. He goes back up to Jerusalem and says, they go, "What are you doing down there with those Gentiles?" He goes, "God rolled a sheet down three times." Told him the whole story. "They came and got me. They brought me over there. I was up on the roof. I was in a trance. I was in like a state. Then there was a man down there, told me to come to his house, came to his house, preached the gospel, ate with him. It's okay." Guess what? Peer pressure. 14 years later. Peer pressure. Because some religious people walked in and it swayed him a little bit. "I don't want to get the criticism. I live around these people. I live around these folks. I don't want to wrestle. I don't want to do this the whole time. But you know what? I don't want to go through the rigmarole of trying to figure it out." He gets up out of the room and goes and sits in the Gentile. Goes in and sits with the Jews and begins to eat. What kosher food? Amen? So what is he doing? He's sending a message. Amen? It's hypocritical. Amen? What he's saying is, we shouldn't be eating that because that's not right. We shouldn't be dealing with the Gentiles the way. There's some of the law still good. Man, Paul, listen, what I told you earlier, Paul said, "Not so." He said, "I got right to his face. I went right to his face and said, 'You know better.'" This ain't some script. I want to say it the way I want to say it. This ain't something. This is Peter. This is walk on water. This is preach first day of Pentecost, 3,000 added to the soul. This 5,000, this 8,000 people. This is walk down the streets, the shadow, people start getting healed. That's Peter. This is the little rock. This is the leader. Paul stands right in his face and says, "You know better." You know what? You know, listen, you want to write this down. Paul's not fighting for all the Gentiles. He is. Paul's not writing for the Jews. He is. He's standing up for himself. Because he's sitting there knowing, if I compromise like you're compromising, I can go back into the whole ball of wax, and it will be about me. I wish y'all could get that right there. Because if we're not careful, the sin, the compromise in ourselves, it's not about everybody else so much as sometimes. It's about us. We will fall flat on our faces and be right back in the mess we were in if we just compromise a little bit with the gospel. He was looking at it and goes, "I can't afford this. I can't afford this. This is my whole life. I put my whole life on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I'm not going back on it." So he would rather stand face to face with one of the greatest leaders of the New Testament church and call him out and make him mad and maybe lose a spot than to just compromise and move on down the road and be a hypocrite. Boy, I wish we had some people today who would just say, you know, I'm sorry, but I can't go there. I have people all the time who kind of put in some things for me. What it is, they'll come to me and they'll just put a little shave in. I'm going to just give you my heart right here. They'll put in a little shave and just a little works doctrine in there. And I can hear, I can spot it from a mile away. Boy, did I hear that right? Are you saying that there's kind of like a little bit of works in there? Yeah. I said, you're absolutely wrong. I cannot do that, not even a little bit. If I lend myself to that, then I guess what? I got to start making my way to heaven. I've got to start doing some great things, or I've got to stop doing some things. And I can't. Listen, I'm on the highway because of Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen? I won't get into any works doctrine. I won't. I work because I'm saved, not because I'm trying to be saved. Amen? I'm led by the Spirit of God. Can I do better? Can I do more? Can I look at some religions who are working their way to heaven and compare myself and go, man, I'm probably just not doing good enough. Maybe. But at the end of the day, they're not going to heaven. I am, because of who Jesus is. Amen? Well, now we can square up with God and we can talk to Him and He can say, look, here's some areas you can do more in and do your part in. But praise God, you're not going to work your way into heaven. That ain't going to happen. Whew. This is good, rich, doctrinal stuff. Good, rich, doctrinal stuff. Then the Gentiles, but when they were come, He withdrew and separated Himself, fearing them which were circumcised. Watch verse 13. Verse 13. And the other Jews disassembled likewise. That's became hypocrites. With Him, insomuch, watch this right here, look. That Barnabas, who? His great encourager, right? Also was carried away with their dissimulation, their hypocrisy. What happened? One of the guys he brought up there with him. What'd he do? Fell right in there with him. What's the problem? Amen. They got Titus with him, who's a Greek. It's a mixed message. Do I have to get back into the law? Do I have to go to the law? Barnabas is already, he's seen Peter. He's seen Peter, who was a great leader, sway one thing. Guess what? He joined right in with him. Yeah, maybe I'll go in a separate room and eat with all the Jews. Right? What does that say? Everybody in the Galatian church, everybody at Ephesus, everybody at Philippi, they're going to hear about it. Right? If nobody says anything, that's going to filter down. Paul's saying the law, Peter's saying the law, and Jesus. It's a mix, right? Paul is awesome. He's looking at his brother Barnabas, right? He's looking at Titus, and he's looking at himself, right? But when I saw they walk not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, verse 14, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. He went into the whole doctrine of justification right in front of Paul. He said, there's nothing you're doing that will justify you other than Jesus Christ. Am I correct? That's what he was saying. Am I correct? Are you a Jew or are you a Gentile? Or are you free in Jesus Christ or are you going back under the law? Man, this is bold. But he says, we are justified in Christ Jesus. He said, there are no works. Why is Paul so adamant about that? Because that's all he did prior to his salvation, is he was working his way to heaven. He's gave up on that completely because he put all of his trust and faith in Jesus. I have as well, and you should have as well. Ooh, I love that. Just there is no flesh justified in works. None. You're going to hear some great stories, some great people. They're wearing great things. They're wearing certain things. They're doing certain prayers. They're looking a certain way. They're praying a certain direction. They're doing it 3 times a day, 4 times a day, 10 times a day. They're fasting on certain months of the year. That has nothing to do with getting into heaven. Absolutely nothing. People are getting baptized by certain peoples in certain groups. Has nothing to do with getting into heaven. Amen? But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again, listen to this verse 18, this is so good. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. He said, I'm against it. He goes, I've tore down trying to get into heaven by the law. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am no longer a bondservant to the law. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He has stood up in front of all the Christians in that room and he has laid down the line and he's saying, it is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And you know who the first one to say amen would be? Peter in this moment would say, amen, brother, thank you. Thank you. I had peer pressure that pushed me this way or that way to live this way or live that way. But praise God, I see the error of my ways. And I thank you that God came up here and just changed. But you know what? I bet for the first time since Jesus left the earth, this was one moment where Peter said, man, I'm glad God treats me like God. You know, he had somebody who treated him like Jesus. Because Jesus was rough on Peter. Amen? And sometimes he's rough on us. But he's rough in a good way. Amen? But you know what he did? You know what Peter did? Because we're reading it out of the book of the Galatians, the Ephesians, the Philippians. He sent a line all the way down to the Gentiles. You're saved just like us. You don't have to do anything else but believe in Jesus Christ. Believe with all your heart, your mind, and soul. Phew. You know what? That message has been rocking on for 2,000 plus years. That's why we're sitting here on Flat Top Mountain teaching this message, because that's what we believe in. That's what's going to get us into heaven. And like the songs we sung in worship tonight, we'll enter the throne room and praise. The doors will open wide. We will run in. And the only reason we'll run in is because there's a man named Jesus who stood there and hung on a cross, died for our sins, was buried, and resurrected the third day. And we will throw our crowns and we will bow our faces and we will say, thank you so much for doing it all, paying our sin debt. Let's all stand.